Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, and some very cool fiddle playing there. That's from Hawktail, and they're going to be playing Helsinki Hudson in Hudson on Wednesday. And if you check your calendars, you'll see that's tomorrow night. Yes. Well, Wednesday is tomorrow, but the performance would be tomorrow night. And you can go find out more at HelsinkiHudson.com. That's from their new album, Unless, which comes out in May.
I love Helsinki.
Yeah.
It's a great venue, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, we once had it in Great Barrington.
That's right.
That's right. It moved.
And they moved over to the thing. And I can't go because I can't stay up till 8 or 9 o'clock.
You're such a delicate flower.
That's exactly what I've always thought
you
about
really
myself.
You really are.
That's what we'll all say about Alan. He was a delicate flower.
That's right.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It is Tuesday, the 17th of April. We have quite a crew this morning, a lot to talk about, as we always do, and we'll get right to that. Panel at WAMC.org is where you can join us and talk and find out about, share your thoughts, basically. Share your thoughts. We don't do this every day, but let me do it today, which is to remind you, keep your letters short. A couple of them were getting a little on the rambly side yesterday, so keep them short, keep them on point, and pre-read them so we can actually know what you're trying to tell us.
Joe, you couldn't have said it better.
Thank you.
Because I'm the guy who has to read them.
You have to read them. You have the hard job. So.
I have a hard job anyway.
All right. Yes, you do.
Yes,
you do. Alan, good morning. Hello. Welcome. Good to have you here. Yes, Gary?
Well.
Mike Spain is with us. It's Tuesday. He joins us each and every Tuesday, as well as whenever we beg him to come. And
the man who...
I'm happy to be here.
The man who everybody likes.
It's true.
I often look at him and I say...
We could discuss that sometime.
All right. Give us the list of people that hate you, Mike. Yeah. We want that.
Everybody likes Mike. The other guy is on our gardening show, Greg Ward. He's the other man who is everybody likes.
Everybody likes?
Yeah.
And now for a true son of a bitch, we have J.P. Miller.
Whoa.
I want to be a delicate flower.
You want to be a delicate flower?
Sorry. You should be the gardening guy.
Yeah. J.P. Miller is the man behind Empire Report, and we're thrilled to have you with us. Thank you very much for being with us. And Libby Post is here. She is a political consultant. And what does it say on your business card?
It says President and Strategist in Chief.
Oh, I think we want that strategist in chief.
Wow. Yes.
All right.
That's impressive.
Libby is our strategist in chief.
Yeah, make no mistake of that.
That's right. Make no mistake. I'm not a crook.
Thank you all for being here. Let's get to the topics of the day. Just a quick reminder again, our email address is panel at WAMC.org. Okay, let's go to... Well, there's a lot going on, and this is another one of those days where you're not really sure where to start. But we will start with sanctions. And this is a very confusing story, but the Trump administration has reversed course a day after the ambassador of the United Nations said Russian companies would be penalized for facilitating Syria's chemical weapons program. Now... the president is rejecting those new sanctions against Russia, and the move underscored the schism between the president and the people who work for him on the national security team. You will remember that the House and Senate approved sanctions and overwhelmingly approved.
Almost unanimously.
And it took a while for the Trump administration to embrace those. They finally did. And we thought, oh, this is interesting. And then... now it seems like we are in a turn. The president's ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, had announced on Sunday that the administration would place sanctions on Russian companies found to be assisting Syria's chemical weapons program. The sanctions were listed on a menu of further government options after an American-led airstrike on Syria, retaliating against a suspected gas attack that killed dozens a week earlier. But the White House contradicted her on Monday, saying that Mr. Trump had not approved additional measures. We are considering additional sanctions on Russia, and a decision will be made in the near future, said Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House press secretary, in a statement. Speaking later with reporters aboard Air Force One as Mr. Trump headed to Florida, Ms. Sanders added that the president has been clear that he's going to be tough on Russia, but at the same time, he'd still like to have a good relationship with them.
What is, is that the Times we're reading out of?
We're reading out of the New York Times. We'll also tell you that the we'll also tell you that this is in you will remember that on Friday, when the president was speaking to the nation, had some harsh words for Russia and their view and working in their view on Syria, and saying that make no mistake, we were going to be tough on Russia. Okay. Who wants in on this?
Well, I think that if it is just as it appears that the Trump administration is trying to offer some conciliatory tone towards Russia so we can begin talking to them, because it's important to talk to our allies, but it's probably more important to be talking to our adversaries. If that's the case, it doesn't work now, because Trump's credibility when it comes to Russia is so flawed. It could well be that it was, you know, good cop, bad cop kind of thing. She's going on there being harsh and, you know, we're going to be the good guys and go after the enemy. And he's or maybe she's going to be the bad cop, I guess. And he's going to come across a little more moderate. It could have been planned. But if it was, they really botched it. It looks terrible.
You know, I'm thinking here that what we have heard all along, and that is that the Russians have this president by the tail, and that they've got enough on him to cook him, is really what's going on here. So, and I keep thinking, as I've said earlier, of the game of Saluji, which we used to play on Fire Island, in which two guys were throwing a ball and somebody was in the middle, and then what happened is they got the two guys on the outside got closer and closer and closer till they could tag them. And I think that's maybe what's going on here with Trump. But with Trump, you never know whether there's a sort of a cunning about diversion going on, and that he likes us going down this road. I don't know.
It could just be that. It could just be he wants to be the contrarian. He wants to be able to change his mind after he sticks his finger in the air and sees how the public opinion is going after Nikki Haley on the Sunday talk shows took the harsh stance against Russia. And it could be that he does see a value in communicating with Russia, but you're right. I mean, the people who don't like him are ready to believe that the Russians got something on him.
Well, now, and then on Sunday night, George Stephanopoulos is speaking to James Comey, and toward the end of that interview, he says, do you believe that the president of the United States is compromised by Russia, that they have something on the president of the United States?
And Comey says.
And Comey said, I cannot rule that out. He said, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. I'm paraphrasing. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. I would never say this about any other president that I worked with. But in this case, I can't say definitively no. He said, I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. Now, George Stephanopoulos stopped and said, that is stunning. Now, you also wonder if this is in some relationship to that, given the heated words between Comey and the president.
You know, I'm sorry. I just want to go back to Nikki Haley for a moment. Nikki Haley is a woman who I think believes she could be president of the United States.
And probably could be, right?
Yeah, in terms of her background and political background and her articulateness and stuff. So I keep thinking, what's really going on here? Does the president of the United States just purposely pull out the rug from underneath her? Or does he call her the night before and say, this is what you're going to say. This is what you're going to say tomorrow, and this is what I'm going to do. And and she has to go along with it. Otherwise, she becomes Haley's Comet.
Oh, there you go.
You were just waiting for that. The thing about, Joe, that you were saying about, you know, Comey saying what he said and then the president doing what he said. If it's true what Comey said, that they do have something on him, and Comey said it, one would think that the president would do the opposite and be tougher on Russia to show that they don't have.
How
that
can you
he
do
doesn't
that?
Care. But how, that he doesn't care, or that they really don't have anything on me, so I'm going to be tough.
But how can you do that if, in fact, they do have something on
you? I know, I know.
And they're pulling the strings?
I know. It's whiplash foreign policy is what we have.
It's whiplash.
But I remember...
It's Saluggi. That's what I'm telling you.
I had to look up Saluggi. S-A-L-U-G-I. And I was just watching... It's a keep-away game. I was just watching a little video of the kids playing Saluggi.
Yeah.
I had never played Saluggi as a child. You, JP?
You've never been to Fire Island?
I've never been to Fire Island, but I think Nikki Haley would not have made that announcement unless she believed and she had talked to the administration and said, this is what our administration's policy is going to be. You can say this on Meet the Press tomorrow. That's what happens before you go on Meet the Press is you talk to the administration
and
you get your talking points down. And so this was clearly a decided policy on behalf of the administration. And Trump must have spoken to someone else, and we hear from people that work with Trump, where the kind of the last person that he talks to can talk him into a reversal. And so the question is who he talked to get him to reverse the policy on that, because I think at one time he wanted to do it, and somehow he changed his mind.
Well, it could be Putin on the phone with him and say, hello.
But you know, too.
What you got?
But to Libby's point, this whole thing of what makes sense, I mean, I remember talking about this in 2015 when he was starting to run for president of being so counterintuitive to what we had thought of would be, well, why are you doing, if the press and if people are saying this about you, then why in the name of God would you just walk right into it and do it again? But I mean, that's... And politically, it has served him well.
With the base.
With the base, you're right. It got him elected. Right.
Yeah, the other night, that Seinfeld episode where George was the contrarian and everything worked well for him. He would go up and tell a woman, I'm unemployed. I don't take care of myself. My hygiene is terrible. I live with my parents. And she goes, wow. You know, it's almost like that's going on with Trump. Every time he does this stuff, he seems to survive, you know.
Seinfeld references for 400, Alex.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, really. You know, Nixon survived for quite a while until he couldn't anymore, and I think you'll see the same thing here.
Well, that's why the Cohen story is so important.
Yes.
Because Cohen is potentially the tapes.
Right.
In other words, they couldn't get Nixon until they had it on tape.
Right.
Apparently, Cohen had some tapes. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Cohen had some things, and that's what's freaking them out right now. And
before we leave this one, though, is it over for Nikki Haley? Is this going to be the beginning of her exit out of the?
I think that this has happened before.
Isn't this his MO with most of his staff? I mean, you put a script in front of him, and then you. I mean, he's done it to Jeff Sessions. He's done it to. He certainly did it to Tillerson. He's done it. I mean,
over and over again.
Right. I mean, at one point, it deteriorates, and they. You know, I can't see her quitting.
Well, we assume it'll all go eventually.
But she might want to spend more time with her family, Joe, and pursue other interests.
that's right. True.
I'm glad.
Well,
maybe.
No, I think there is a tipping point. There's going to be a tipping point when they realize all of the people who are the sort of sycophants, and that's one of the reasons, by the way, that Comey said something very unflattering about anybody who worked for the president. In other words, he characterized them all in a way. You remember, did you guys see that? Well, anyway, you're
on
looking
the interview with Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, you're all looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I didn't. I missed the.
What basically he said is the president's terrible, and so is anybody who's working for him right now.
Well, he puts a stain on those working.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Such a stain.
So at some point, there is going to be what we would only call a tipping point. When all the self-serving people who wanted to work for a president of the United States or for this president of the United States to say, I'm getting the hell out of here because otherwise I'm going to be indelibly linked to this guy forever. There'll be no future for me.
So it would be good for her to get out now.
Well, the great thing about Nikki Haley is she's not in the West Wing. She doesn't have to travel with the president. She's not interacting with him all the time. She's living in New York City. So she has a distance from the White House. And this snafu does not – everybody looks at this as something that doesn't reflect poorly on her. It reflects poorly on the president.
Now, what does snafu stand for again?
Snafu.
Yes, it's a technical term that comes from the military,
for
I believe.
Snafu.
Yes.
No.
Well, let's just go with that.
Okay.
This is public radio, Alan.
I'm interested, though, in but there is also the very serious nature of this, of what, if any, sanctions there will be, and what. And again, I'm going back to Friday night when he had harsh words for Russia. And then you wonder, so have there been conversations between Friday night and Monday night?
No, I think there has been conversations since the last round of sanctions that really targeted the oligarchs and possibly the people who own him in Russia in terms of financing.
Which brings us back to the two words that really tell the story, and that's tax returns.
Right.
Well, and
all of ours were due today, and where is his?
And isn't that a worry that could be something that is included in the raid on Michael Cohen's office, which we will talk about
that's
when we come back
point.
In the break.
You know, I hadn't even thought of that.
I don't think that Cohen has his tax returns.
Well, I had heard
on tax returns you don't put, you know, $50 million from Russian oligarch on your tax returns. You
well, maybe
put
you
that,
don't.
You
no.
have there are some things you have to itemize though.
I don't either.
You know, you do have to itemize your income. You do need to show on your W-2s. Yeah.
But it raises an interesting point. Which is Mueller must have his tax returns. Must. Because, as you know, he can't, you know, prosecutors always prosecute people who cheat on their tax returns. Mm-hmm. How do they know they're cheating? They get the tax returns from the IRS,
well,
right?
That's how they got Al Capone.
Yeah,
I remember that.
On tax returns, Trump has been a very high profile guy for 40 years. I think he assumes that his taxes are going to get audited every single year. I think the reason that Trump was trying to hide his tax returns is he is a very uncharitable guy. I think he gives very little to charity relative to his income, and that's why he wanted to hide.
That is the most benign
that is
nonsense.
Insane.
And the other.
I don't think. I mean, it may be one aspect.
I don't think he cares about that.
No, I think
well,
that's
we love
part
JP.
Of it. But it's also that it might show that he is not as wealthy as he portrays.
Yes,
himself.
Absolutely.
So those.
But
two
tax
things,
returns don't show wealth.
And it
either.
Could also show these.
No, they don't. They could indicate the kinds of tax breaks he's getting. I remember it came out during Nixon's presidency that he had given his papers to a university, maybe, I don't know, Duke or something, but he gave them to a university and then claimed the value to erase any taxes that he had to pay. He paid zero taxes 1 year while he was president. And when that came out, that really hurt him.
Good idea. I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
Happy Tax Day, by the way. It's the 17th. So
Hunter College just got a whole pile of papers.
You were just talking. We were talking the other day, you and I, about Frost Nixon.
Right.
And in that movie, it portrays Nixon as being very cheap. Which was sort of an interesting aspect to his personality.
The great anecdote from the final days by Woodward and Bernstein was that when he would have people on the Sequoia, he'd have favorable politicians on the Sequoia, the presidential yacht in the Potomac, and they'd serve cheap bottles of wine wrapped in towels to them, and then he would have the vin vivant, you know, and all that stuff.
Wow.
Well, a lot of ways to cut that. I knew a guy who made you sign a book when you came into his house. So he could deduct it as a business expense.
Oh, also smart. Well, tax tips on the roundtable panel on this tax day. We welcome you and your tips or simply any comments that you have about the discussion that's taken place so far.
Right here.
And we have much more coming. We welcome your comments. panel@wamc.org And again, keep your letters short, keep them to the point, just double check them before you read them, and don't put any abbreviations or anything in there, because otherwise we don't know what you're trying to say. Also, no links. That's the other rule. No links.
L-Y-N-X.
panel@wamc.org We will continue our conversation after this news. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan has some letters.
I do.
We were just saying, you know, just because we give you a lot of rules doesn't mean you can't write to us. Well, just follow the rules and write to us. That's
well,
all we ask.
But also, I only have a handful of letters here because all the other letters, and there must have been, you know, like 25 of them, all said, gave the definition of what snafu was.
Which we are not allowed to say. Of.
Yes, we right. knew what it meant. We just didn't want to say it. But
I'll say it, and I'll say it right now.
Okay.
Situation normal. all fouled up.
Ah, yeah.
There you go.
Very good.
All right.
You did that so well.
Okay, so
letters.
And by the way, we'll get another 25 saying, no, that is not the difference.
Right. Yes.
All right. Henry says, Russian sanctions. MSNBC had a reporter who said that the administration wanted this planned in March. Trump may not have remembered this, or as your discussion points out, someone changed his mind recently. Haley does not make these statements on her own initiative. I think, Henry, you're exactly right, and I think we've basically said that here today, right? Okay, great. Thank you for the backup. And Karen says, I changed my mind.
Uh-oh.
I was pretty negative at first about the Comey book and how his actions in the 2016 election had gotten Trump elected. Well, after seeing every talking head on television and print piling on unfairly, I think, I'm now coming to his defense. He's an honest guy. We should take his word for it that he felt he had no choice with that second announcement about finding more Hillary emails. And he probably needs the money from this book since he was fired from his job by Trump. He has a family to support after all. And that's from Karen. But Karen, did you ever think that what he didn't do was talk about the investigation that he was conducting about Trump at the same time?
You know, the thing here, I have to say, I watched that interview again for the second time last night. I don't know why. But well, I do know why.
What you mean, the Stephanopoulos?
The Stephanopoulos Comey interview. And I the reason I watched it is because I could watch it on Hulu without. There were a lot of commercials. Do you know that when you the actual time of that interview was 32 minutes?
Oh, that's it. I thought maybe 40.
No, it's 32 minutes. The rest of it,
The actual time was 5 hours.
Well, right,
cut it down to 32 minutes.
But then you know the rest is billowed by commercials. Right. So now the thing that I really got out of it though is. Okay, you can say what you want, and I understand, and I feel exactly the way most people feel. And again, I reference the Charles Blow column about contempt for both men. With that said, there is something comforting about seeing a person in a high level of government speaking with clarity and insight and understanding of the law. And in complete sentences and with great authority. And I don't know, there's something refreshing about that. If you write and say, well, that means you've set the bar extremely low, yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you're right. But however,
I think he comes off as a very thoughtful, intelligent, and flawed person.
Yeah,
that's how I come.
No, I think flawed. I think flawed is the right word because.
But admittedly.
But I think he got scared. I mean, for a guy in that position, he was thinking, which way is the wind blowing? He was putting his finger up in the air to see which way the wind was blowing.
And he does admit that ego got the best of him too. Okay. I think he admits to that.
Well, being FBI director also is a political job. There's mm-hmm. no two ways about it, and he's trying to navigate that political job the best way he can. He's dealt with basically investigating both presidential candidates, who I think both parties would admit were not the greatest presidential candidates. And he was put in a very tough situation, certainly, and he's getting, obviously, arrows from both sides, both the Hillary campaign and the Trump campaign.
And Dan writes, Comey's about Trump Russian prostitutes. Comey's comment that it says here again. We want to have you look at your things. Comey's comment that Trump's involvement in the Golden Shower allegation, that it quote it was possible, but he didn't know, was for one specific purpose, in my opinion, to give Trump a taste of his own medicine, as Trump does this all the time to defame people and raise doubts about their innocence. Comey had a slight glint in his eye, as if to say directly to Trump, see how it feels? Well, no, you know, I think that there is a certain amount of get evenness in this whole book and this whole thing. You know, just get even.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's also to perhaps save his reputation and try to explain the tortured way that he explained it, why he did what he did in the final days of the campaign and why he didn't talk about the Trump-Russian interference investigation while that was also underway, and maybe to preserve his own name in history. And who knows?
You know? And I know, yeah. Joe, I'm sorry. Mike.
No, go ahead.
And I know, Joe, we're going to get to, and one of the things that I get, you know, I feel bad about is that sometimes I go to places where I don't think Joe absolutely wants to go yet, you know, but there.
Well, you don't have any letters, so you can go wherever you want. Yeah. Drive the car. Take the steering wheel. Okay. Bring us there.
Off the cliff.
Or as one of the best ads on television now says, no car for a month.
Right. That is a good ad.
All right. So okay. Where do you want to bring us?
No. Well, I forget. But
yeah, there is that. No. And there we go.
Can you help, Mike? Go ahead.
We're talking about Comey, right? Still?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. There was Comey. I want to go to Cohn, actually.
Oh, good.
Because that is so interesting. You got Kimball Wood, Judge Wood, right?
Yep.
Who is a very fine judge.
Michael Cohen. This
and
is president.
A tie to the Berkshires. Forget it. Okay.
Okay. Michael Cohen, okay. Who is President Trump's personal attorney. Go ahead. They were in court yesterday. The Trump, both Cohen and Trump are trying to have reviewing and trying to have the items that were taken from Michael Cohen's office dismissed, and or at least they know what was taken.
That's right. So now the question is, what can we expect? Because we are told again and again that the White House is more concerned about this set of events than they are, you know, about the Mueller investigation, which is incredible.
Yeah, the New York Times reports that over and over, that the insiders in the White House are worried about what the federal investigators got last week when they raided the apartment and the office of Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, the fixer. And Judge Wood has to decide whether to let Trump's lawyers look through it first and pull out anything that they believe is covered by attorney-client privilege. The federal prosecutor said they would like to have that role, and she may even she seems to be leaning towards the federal prosecutor, saying kind things about them. But she also may bring in an outside lawyer who could look at everything. A master who could decide. This goes to the prosecutors, this goes back to Trump. This goes to the prosecutors, this goes back to Trump.
Well, you know what? I have infinite faith in Judge Wood. And I think...
Do you know Judge Wood personally, Alan?
I do not. I was... No.
You weren't invited to the George Soros wedding?
No, but there is a connection to the Berkshires. I'm not quite sure what it was. I think they once owned the house in the Berkshires. Okay. So now, I'm thinking that this is going to really be interesting, in that she's going to appoint a master, all right. That's what I would do if I were her. But it's not a question of whether to appoint a master. It's a question of which master to appoint, because she can have her cake and eat it too, right?
By
who she picks.
Sure.
So it makes sense, and it has all the appearances of fairness. And she'll get somebody who will say, you know, the prosecution.
A little news came out yesterday, too, during
that
hearing.
Oh, absolutely. So if you remember going back to Friday, there was a lot of pressure from the judge on who's your client list. And they were not, we had three clients, and they were not saying who the other clients were. And they were making the point that was the president his only client. And they said, no, there are other clients. Well, who's your other client? Who's your other client? Who's your other client? Yesterday, in a document that was finally forced to be released, said that one of the clients, the other client, was Sean Hannity of Fox News. Well, isn't that interesting? Sean Hannity then on his program last night denied any knowledge in saying that they do not share an attorney.
He just asked a few questions about a real estate transaction.
Okay, but you know, I don't get it. I'm a little stupid, but I don't get it. Hannity, you know what I think of Hannity and, you know, the rest of it. So the liberal and otherwise good press is trying to make as much out of this as they possibly can. But I don't see where it leads that's so bad for the president or anything else.
Well, what it suggests is one, a very cozy relationship between Hannity and the president, which has already come
out.
Yeah,
we didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that. We assume when you spend the weekend together, it's...
He carries a lot of water for Trump. But the other is that when you look at Cohen, the Michael Cohen, the attorney, his reputation is being the fixer, someone who goes in and arranges hush money for people who have damaging information about his client.
That's exactly
And he's only got two other clients, and he's done that. We know that for the two other clients. One is a big fundraiser for the Republican Party who resigned his post after this was revealed. And so if that's his expertise, going in and fixing it when there's embarrassing information. Speculation is that he may have been brought in to do that for Hannity. And Hannity's on Fox News, where I think how many people have left Fox News
many,
in the
many.
Last 12 months because of that? You know,
I think
so. It's reasonable to suspect that.
I think Michael Avenatti might have a new client soon in all of this. You know, Stormy Daniels' attorney.
Now,
I think you'll hear in the next couple of days one or more women coming forward.
So will somebody tell me why we saw in Nine-Inch Stiletto Heels Stormy going into the same courthouse yesterday? What was the connection between Stormy's appearance and Cohen and the rest of those folks?
Well, Cohen has attacked her. And she has, what she said yesterday was, this will prove that no one is above the law. That was basically her message yesterday.
What
so,
I would say is there
Stormy
were,
there?
Why was Stormy there? There were going to be 30 or 40 news cameras from around the world.
It's a press
and she got in front of all the cameras and she became a big part of the story.
And they almost knocked her down, by the way. And I think they did, sort of, because she had to stand up and get helped up. By, do you see those guards around her? Wow. Those are big guys.
If not for the Hannity revelation, she and Cohen would have been the big story. But because of the Hannity revelation, that was a real bombshell in the media.
Now, Mike, JP, what would they have been asking her in court? In other words,
nothing. She had no standing in the hearing going on.
No,
she was there for the cameras outside. JP's
right.
You could not miss an opportunity like this, and she did
Why
not.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pause there. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We have lots of other stuff to talk about. We welcome your comments, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. 10 minutes before 10 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, the 17th of April. Listening to some music from Hawktail. They will be at Helsinki Hudson tomorrow night. That's a Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, April 18th, HelsinkiHudson.com. They have a new album out called Unless is the name of the album. Hawktail's new album is called Unless. It'll be coming out in a few weeks. I know Alan has a copy already on pre-order. He also has a whole... stack of letters.
Not that many, but some. And of course, we encourage that. Russell says, Sean, good morning, panel. Of course, Sean Hannity didn't pay for Cohen. Someone else did it for him. No paperwork would be there, but Cohen would not have stated that Hannity was a client if he wasn't.
Right. Why throw him under the bus like that?
Okay, and Ellen says, Trump on Russia. Alan, I'm just reading the words here, okay?
Okay.
Alan, no, they've been checked.
Alan,
go ahead.
Alan, you are so wise.
Oh, we see. Thank you so much for that. There's just a little disclaimer there, folks.
Let me read that again.
Yes, read it again, wise one.
You are, Alan, so, you are wise. You are so, four words.
Can you believe how wise he is?
It's astounding to me.
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
But tell me, please, what could Putin have on Trump that we don't already know? How shocking could it be? Well, he could have a lot on him. They could have, for example, the idea that they were giving him money.
Money laundering and things like that.
Or that, somebody was taking a shower.
That might be part.
Well, I think that story is so interesting because that to me, and this is a media project topic perhaps, but I thought it was really interesting that because ABC has never covered that story because they've been unable to verify it. So even though it's the worst kept secret in the world, Steele dossier story of what's in that, including the golden showers. But of course, Comey mentions it and says then ABC and a couple of other news outlets in reporting it then, of course, have to advance it and sort of explain that it's unverified. But it's interesting how they're kind of falling over themselves.
I think Trump was extremely plausible in his explanation on why that couldn't be true, because I'm a germaphobe. I never could handle that.
Well, he
didn't want to get the wife angry at him.
What about the president, though?
That bridge has been crossed a long time ago.
But what about is it true that Trump asked the FBI director, please investigate this?
We don't know if it's true.
But
we
that's
only,
what Comey says.
We only know that that's what Comey
so,
said.
So Trump could have said, please don't investigate this.
Oh, he was asking to be cleared.
I think he said to clear it up,
right?
Yeah, to be cleared, yes.
To be clear. Okay, here we go. Hi, panel. Oh, was there more of that other one?
More about you being wise. Go ahead.
Okay. consider instead that Trump and Putin work together in coordination of messaging. Watch how they each make public statements and then counter each other in ways that benefit their supporters. Think weapons manufacturers. One threatens the other one. The other says dramatic things. We threaten. Putin's place says something outrageous. Trump counters with saying something good about Putin. And the Russians say they want good relations with us, then back again to harsh actions, rhetoric, and so on. This keeps us all busy trying to figure it all out and distracted from what they are actually doing. Personally, I think my version is more scary, and that's Ellen from Greenfield.
She makes a good point. You know, I was wondering what sanctions haven't we done yet, and what good would they do at this point? We've levied so many sanctions on them. We've kicked out their diplomats. We've indicted their oligarchs. We've done all this. We've confiscated a lot of money. I mean, what else can we do? I mean, we've kind of stuck it right in their eye.
And then let's see here. Tony in Scotia says, "Why did Trump presumably fire Comey?" I think it was because Comey is 6'8 and good looking.
Well, he's 6'8.
You don't think he's so good looking?
All right. Maybe a little white rings around his eyes, probably from the tanning hut that Comey goes
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think so.
Jennifer says, Comey cop-out quote. What did Comey mean when he said impeachment would just, quote, let the American people off the hook? I thought that was a very interesting thing to say also. He was saying, look, you know, you folks got us into this. You voted for this person. You may blame it on me, but it's really your votes that did it. And therefore, you've got to make it right. And the way we make it right in America is to vote him out, not to impeach him out.
And I love that line. I don't think we should let the American people off the hook.
Right. But I also think if he went to the impeachment route, that would have been totally politicizing him. And he doesn't, and he's trying not to do that.
Well, he called him unfit morally to be president. I think that he is viewed now as a partisan actor. And on the impeachment, a lot of people would blame James Comey for putting Trump in office. You know, he came out with that thing 11 days before the election.
Well, I certainly think so. Yeah.
Right.
I have no doubt about it.
So he's trying to put it back in the American people. Most people would say, you as FBI director came in 11 days before the election, and Trump's polls swung 13 points over 3 days. That's an astonishing swing, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Libby?
It is.
So I would put it on Comey.
Yeah. The relationship with those two guys is so interesting. You know that thing they keep playing again and again and again and again where he comes in the room.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
It really looks like the president is kissing him.
Well, the whole thing
he's whispering
about,
in his ear.
Right. The whole thing about, well, you know, my suit matched the drapes and I was hoping to hide and blend in.
Yeah. He's got a little sense of humor, at least.
Yeah,
he's self-deprecating.
And, yes,
you know,
and I think the man truly embodied in the past tense what it meant and believed in the FBI and what it meant. And I think he's trying to reclaim some of that and trying to make it better for the institution, but also for his legacy. And you can't blame him for trying to do that. Yes, he screwed up Hillary Clinton's election. There's no two ways about it. And he'll have to live with that the rest of his life. But the idea that they made this political decision about whether or not to release this, we're reinvestigating this.
They
you
made
know,
it. He made
based
it.
On polling is he, ridiculous.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was...
Okay, so another letter is from Kathleen in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, hi, Kathleen in Saratoga.
I agree with Joe. I take comfort in the fact that someone, i.e. Comey, is defending U.S. institutions and the truth against the onslaught of lies we have suffered the last 2 years. Is it possible that aside from a personal agenda, he just cares about the country the way everyone else on the panel does and is using his notoriety to shine some light on the administration and call out Trump on his lies? It seems a little unfair to always assume a primary self-serving agenda.
Well, I think it can be both.
Yeah, I do too. People write books for because they get offered money to do so, and it gives them the opportunity to do just what Kathy in Saratoga suggested.
He's got to have some courage. He's got to have some courage.
He could have done it in a more sober way without saying my hands are bigger than Trump's and Trump's got tan and he lies and he's morally unfit. He could have done it in a more sober way that would give him a lot more credibility.
It would have been a boring book, though.
And help burgeon
Not only that, look at what Trump has said about him. You know, and I'm not saying it needs to be tit for tat, but Trump really has undermined his credibility. He just has said things about him, which most of the time isn't true, but I mean, Trump just says what he wants. But he really has, that's a very good word, excoriated him. And it's unfair. It's unnecessary.
I agree it's unfair. I also think, though, that Comey's book and the way he's going about this with Trump adds fuel to the Trump fire of saying the FBI was against me, the establishment was against me, I have everybody working against me.
Yeah. Richard,
I think it helps Trump.
Richard writes, with the second we have, "Hi, panel, just an aside, I'd appreciate knowing where I can find an attorney who will give advice for free." you don't have an Uncle
maybe
Harold?
Maybe if he's your brother-in-law or something.
I was going to say, you don't have an Uncle Harold? What's the matter?
Michael Cohen and from Hannity, who's worth $100 million, does him a solid for free.
Yeah, I doubt it.
What, do you get one more there?
There'll be some women coming out.
All right, we are going to take a break. Are you happy about that, Ray? Yes. No, not really? All right. Hands in the air. Like a shrug. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. First News. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Stage direction from JP. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. You're all right. You're fine. Good morning. Welcome back. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, JP Miller, Libby Post, all part of our panel this morning. We welcome your letters. Alan has a few. Alan, go ahead.
Tracy says, "In the midst of all the serious topics that you are discussing, I feel somewhat sheepish in pointing this out. But it is bothering me, so I will. Why is it necessary to point out that Ms. Daniels was wearing 9-inch stilettos? Who cares? I've never heard anyone comment on what shoes a man wore to court."
But she tipped over, and that was one of the explanations why she fell down.
It was okay, but let's read the whole thing here. We don't want to prejudge this. "It's a very little thing, but worth noting that no reporter, I guess, is immune from inserting his or her gender-based biases. Why comment on her heels? Does it make her less legitimate as an interested observer of these court proceedings? Just unnecessary. Stick to the relevant fact." You were going to say, Mike?
Well, no. I mean, we did talk about how the rush of the crowd knocked her over, and that could explain if she's up high on the heels.
That's
where
I saw it.
But, you know, in all honesty, she is there because she is an actress in the pornographic film business, and she was there decked out for that. So how she came dressed to portray that role, I think is relevant. Having said that, I think too often news stories describe women and what they're wearing and how their hair is.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are wearing suits all the time. They
don't
say, wearing
like
a black
slumps.
Suit with a bright red tie and gleaming
what
teeth.
What I'm wearing.
But she wasn't there as a porn star.
Criticism.
She wasn't there as a porn
star. Oh, she is
a porn star. I get that, Mike.
She's always a porn
star. I know.
Unless she's using her
other
name.
This is good. Folks,
but
this is a good discussion.
She was there as a woman who slept with Donald Trump and he denied it and she got paid off.
She's a porn star.
Okay,
she was there to promote her self.
Well, I don't think that she was there to promote her latest movie. I think she was there to promote,
justice. The cover of the New York Post, I understand, had a very flashy portrayal of her.
Well,
for that.
Well, it's the New York Post, honey.
That's right.
And what did the TU have on the cover?
And I resent this use of the word honey to a man.
Do you? Well, so sorry about that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, nobody comments about what a man wears, but Comey said that Trump's tie was long, like it always is.
What does that mean, by the way?
Well,
what does that infer?
Well, it's supposed to...
What do you think it infers?
No, I
don't think it infers anything.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No.
That he can't tie a tie is what it infers.
Well, that's right. I mean, the tie is supposed to... The point of the tie is supposed to go just over the belt.
Oh, okay.
And his is like 6 inches under the fly, as it were.
Whoa.
Well, I think that's something else altogether, then.
I would respond to this letter writer a little bit differently by saying, hey, come on now. You know, America, and I have a feeling that one of the reasons that so many people who should be turned off by Donald Trump aren't over this whole sexuality is... You know, we know what that industry is like. We know what it's like on the internet. We know what it's like on the upper channels of the television. And I think that this is a terrible thing to say, I know, and I find it reprehensible, but there's a certain number of people who, you know, like what Trump is purported to have done.
We are a puritanical country that revels in pornography, but we don't want anybody to know about it.
It would have also definitely been mentioned in the newspaper if Michael Cohen had showed up in Nine Inch Heels. They would have written about that as well.
Yeah, then it would have been a whole other story.
And of course, she did fall over, and that, as you said before, and that has a great deal to do with why it was mentioned that she had the heels. Anyway, thank you for your very interesting letter, Tracy. Michael says, Cohen and Hannity, from Michael. Why Cohen says Hannity is a client? Colon. Cohen is known to tape conversations. You know, we mentioned that before. Mm. Cohen is known to chat with Hannity. There's probably a tape where Cohen is telling Hannity damning information about Trump. He wants to keep this out of evidence, so Cohen claims Hannity as a client so he can claim attorney-client privilege. Hannity knows nothing about it. Interesting.
It is.
Yeah. We'll see.
Okay, and then from Martin Esquire, Hannity. It was reported on MSNBC this morning that the judge never actually forced Cohen's attorneys to blurt out the name Sean Hannity. They had asked to disclose the name in a sealed envelope, and the request was not denied. It was one of many tactical errors Cohen and his lawyers have made since the whole Stormy Daniels saga began. And I highly doubt the super-rich Hannity was using this clown for real estate. Oh, I don't know about that. That's not fair. I mean, I had an Uncle Arthur. He was a dentist. And every time somebody got into the dentist chair, you asked them about real estate. So he made himself a very rich man.
If you're friendly with a lawyer, and he might be a real estate lawyer, but you get a DWI ticket, you might say, what do you advise me? Or a speeding ticket or something, you know? I mean, you know, people just think of lawyers as lawyers.
Mark my words. There will be women coming forward.
For Sean Hannity?
Yes.
Well, that's an accusation. One of your writers did note that there was plenty of comments about Mark Zuckerberg's clothing when he appeared before the Congress last week.
Yeah,
he wasn't wearing his T-shirt and his jeans.
He actually had a suit on.
A nice suit.
Yeah.
And bangs.
And bangs.
Yeah. Okay.
On the Cohen thing really quickly, one thing that I want to mention is that Trump and Cohen have together been involved in dozens and dozens of litigations and lawsuits. These guys have done this for a long time, and they always employ the same playbook, which is delay, delay, delay. And I think it's possible that a lot of the stuff that was seized from Cohen did not have interesting communications, but their playbook is to delay for weeks and months and years on every little thing. I also think that he had to know that this stuff in his possession was going to get seized and that he was going to get raided like Manafort. And I think that the feds are going to have a tough time with Michael Cohen. He's a tough guy to litigate with, I think.
I just disagree with you.
Yeah.
I just disagree with you. I don't think he knew he was going to get raided.
Yeah.
I think he thought the attorney-client privilege would do it for him.
It may yet.
Right.
Yep. All right. We're going to move on. And I just need to find...
Your list. Do you have a list?
Pulitzer Prize.
Thank you.
Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, you want to talk about the Pulitzer Prizes?
Good thing.
No.
Yeah. Well, aren't you proud of of established journalism.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say.
Yes.
I said it this morning on an earlier commentary. I'm going to say it again. It is terrific that the Times and the Washington Post won these prizes because they deserve them, because they've done the hard work, and it is a defense of American...
Ronan Farrow. Good for him.
Of the New Yorker.
Yes. That's right. Right. I wonder how Woody feels this morning about that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I basically think that it's great. Now what are you going to say?
I think it's an affirmation that solid, factual-based reporting has won. And this and the two stories that they cite are the Times and the Washington Post investigation of the Russian interference with the 2016 election and the ongoing interference by Russia. And the other story that the New York Times and the New Yorker with Ronan Farrow were jointly bestowed this Pulitzer Prize was the, you know, the whole Harvey Weinstein scandal, the Me Too movement that kicked off the Me Too movement. Those were significant cultural changes that happened in our society because of good journalism, good reporting. And, you know, I think it stands up against that whole rhetoric of fake news that Trump tries to to promulgate.
You know, but you know, Mikey, all of the great reporting that has happened at the Albany Times-Union, which, in my opinion, deserves some kind of recognition. The Berkshire Eagle, for example, has a guy over there named Larry Parnes, who wrote on the scandal situation at the Berkshire Museum, the selling of the Berkshire art. He went down south. He found out that the guy who was here who recommended it was also did the same thing down in, I guess, South Carolina. It was a wonderful piece. It was carefully researched, and it made a real difference to the people of the Berkshires. But he didn't get a Pulitzer Prize, and he deserved one.
Well, did he? Was anybody entering on his behalf? They had 2,400 entries, so
I told him to.
Yeah,
I told him to.
Well, I found interesting is that opinion writer down in Alabama won.
Yeah, and they do. They do. Mark
like
Mahoney,
yeah.
Who was of the Glens Falls Post Star when he was won the Pulitzer for editorial writing. He's at the Schenectady Daily Gazette now as an editorial writer. I mean, it does happen at smaller papers, and in Vermont, at a small paper years ago there. And I should point out that just this week, the Times Union did learn that it is a winner of 16 awards from the New York Associated Press Association. We'll find
Mazel
out
tough.
Details in June.
Yeah,
but,
and there's no reason for reason.
There is
for
a lot of affirmation of our work, and I think it's important to affirm quality journalism across the board.
There's no reason to get into a competitive situation here, but you literally can't get into this building at WAMC without passing. There's no more room for awards, period.
So you don't want
anymore? So we
won't
win anymore.
You don't want any more?
We want them, and we think they're great, but now we have to be qualitative, which one goes and which one stays.
Okay.
But don't you think... because I'm going to go where Mike was. I also think, look, Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize, which
amazing.
Is a really great.
He's coming to SPAC this year.
Yes, and I think that is somebody in hip hop and rap to win a Pulitzer. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And I have to say when I saw the name of the winner for Pulitzer Prize for fiction. I didn't know the author, which I think is one of the – I was just not familiar with his work. And I think that says a lot, too, because it really does help put these things on the radar and shows that there is really good work out there. Andrew Sean Greer was the author of the book Less, which is a comic novel. And and gay themed, which also was new and interesting for the Pulitzer. So I don't know. I think that's all good, right?
Yeah, I think it shows that there's some quality work being done out there across the board by the big guys and the less known guys, and it's I really am happy every year to hear who are being honored by the Pulitzer Committee.
Okay, so we got a letter. Hello, panel. Remember, Trump's mentor was the despicable McCarthy lawyer, Roy Cohn.
That's right.
Trump dropped him when Cohn had HIV. Trump lamented a while ago, where is my Roy Cohn now? Well, he has a new Cohn.
Oh, well, but one has a name and one doesn't.
But this one doesn't seem to be as smart as Roy Cohn. Laura. You know who else was sitting next to Roy Cohn during that whole time? Oh, boy. I'm
yeah, Robert F. Kennedy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone deserves a chance to redeem themselves, and I think Bobby Kennedy did.
Yes, but Roy Cohn did not.
And tell that to all of the people who had got put in jail and other things as a result of the McCarthy hearings and the rest of it. And Richard says, Mike, what happened to Mike? Trump couldn't have been involved in lewd behavior in Russia because he's a germaphobe. Didn't stop him from unprotected sex with casual acquaintances or strangers, or maybe even people who work for him.
Excellent point. That was his own explanation to Comey why it couldn't have been true.
And Steve says, reference the clothing, description of clothing, all relevant in these cases. Trump is a mess of a human being with lots of health advantages.
Really? Yes.
And his ties are terrible.
But still doesn't know how to dress himself. If Daniels dressed more conventionally, there would be nothing to mention.
Oh, well, okay.
It would be mentioned, though.
Almonds for horses.
What? Rosemary Armeo checked in, and she, of course, is in Jordan, and but a panelist emeritus, and comes in from time to time.
And sometimes comes contemporaries.
And she said, wish I were on today. Oh, that Cohen case. I think the thing making me most crazy about cable TV coverage was the quote-unquote debate about whether Cohen broke the law by recording people. He didn't. New York State is a one-party consent state, a fact discoverable by a simple Google search. So why Chris Matthews didn't do that, I cannot fathom. Cohen probably broke a lot of laws, and I can't wait to find out which ones and how many, but his taping was legal.
As long as he did it in New York, and he wasn't in Maryland like Linda Tripp was during Monica Lewinsky times.
Did we say that, by the way? Did we? Because I'm so out of it. Did we say that it was illegal?
No, I think it was a Chris Matthews thing where he just refused. I don't know. It could be illegal. I don't know. And like people were like writing into him right there saying, no, it's legal in New York.
You don't have to tell the person you're recording. Tape a conversation with somebody in Maryland because you could
or
be
Virginia.
Prosecuted. Yeah. Or I think Massachusetts. Mm. I'm not exactly sure. Remember, the guys who make these laws are the ones who are often subjected to
That's right, exactly. Before you record anybody, just make sure you know the laws, right?
Don't do it in Massachusetts or Virginia or
Maryland.
And Rosemary does say, phew, I feel a lot better just getting that out.
Well, so, we have to get Rosemary back here.
Yeah, I invited her. I said, you can call on and vent right now. And she said, well, I can't say what she said, but I she said she's busy. We'll keep it at that.
Oh, boy.
And then she'll be back. She'll be back and come on and talk to us about it. All right. What else do we have? Was there another story that we missed?
Oh, there's just so many. But we did talk about Hannity, and we talked about Cohen and the lawyer.
Oh, the
Siena
other thing.
There was a poll which showed Cuomo trumping. All his proposed opponents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Andrew Cuomo, you mean his Democratic challengers, including Cynthia Nixon, the famous actress and political activist who, over the weekend, won the Workers' Family Party endorsement to run for governor. So that's not bad.
Is that fair, though? And I mean, I understand it's a reflection, but is it? I mean, the race is just beginning. Cynthia Nixon has been out on the trail for 2 weeks. I don't know how. I mean, that's pretty much what you would expect, right?
It's a September primary, right?
Right.
Oh, no, it'll quicken. The race will quicken. There's no question about it.
Or narrow, as is what you're really trying to say.
Well, on her part. You make a good point, Libby. I accept that criticism.
It may narrow. Yeah,
she's getting a lot of criticism for her comment in the New York Times when they said, where's upstate begin? And she said not the Hudson Valley. And I think that's reasonable. we're a lot more like New York City these days with the economy. And
I think she was having fun.
And she was having fun. She said, when you get out to Ithaca, that's where you're starting
like
to see
Koch
it.
Like Koch had fun when he said there were
no Chinese restaurants here.
No good Chinese restaurants.
And everybody rode around in pickup trucks with a rifle in their back window. He thought that would be the kind of fun that people in upstate would think the same way they would have thought it in New York City, but it wasn't.
But it was so interesting because that really did cost them the election.
It did.
It cost them.
And it gave us Mario Cuomo.
It did.
What the Cuomo people would say, though, is she has gotten, as other than Trump, she is really dominating the news headlines in New York. And he's still beating her by 30 percentage points. So
well, but
Cuomo
it's going down a little bit.
That,
and as we have said, people don't concentrate on these elections until they're here.
Yeah, and the problem might be that she has not ruled out just maintaining a campaign because now she has the Workers' Family Party endorsement. She could be on the ballot, and that could hurt if there is a close election and there's a moderate Republican, perhaps from the Mid-Hudson Valley, who begins to get traction in the race, and Cuomo has some unpopular things happen.
George Pataki.
What do all of you political types say all the time? From now until September/November is a very long time.
Or as Mario used to say, Shanash Nubab, which meant between now and then a new pope could be born.
And on that, we are going to leave you.
Okay.
My thanks to Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, JP Miller, Libby Post. Have a beautiful day. We'll be back with more show right after this.
Okay.